I got to tell you, already today, this happens a lot of times when I come up here and talk to y'all. God confirms what I've been laboring with to bring forward in a way. But it happened as soon as I drove up and turned into the church. And you'll see why when I the topic that I'm going to share is today. Okay, just keep that in mind. Today, that's the topic. Okay. But when you turn in the church, the sign facing that direction, the last word on there is today. It talks about Jesus. Jesus is alive. Or what does it say? Do you remember the words? I'm going to put you on the spot. I read them and I can't remember them now. So, but think of it. It said today.
He lives today.
Today. Amen. As I was walking into church, I guess Kathy had just dropped her kids off and she was leaving. And Barbara said, God bless you. And she said, today. I don't even know if you said that. She said, God bless you today. And I thought that was really cool. And one of the things, I think it was Ben's prophecy, be encouraged this day. Everybody remember hearing that? Be encouraged this day. And I just wrote the words. I don't remember what was said, but joy today. Okay? So I was feeling pretty good about that confirmation. And I had one confirmation actually Thursday when I was in D.C., went over to my friend's house, his name's Dick Simmons, to pray in the morning. And I got there, and I was a little late, and there was four guys that praying there already. And let's see, I kind of wrote down, thank you. I think I wrote down what he said. He prays, as I'm walking in, he starts praying. I heard the whole thing, and I don't have all the words, but what he said was, Lord, this is a new day, and we need fresh manna. Sustenance from you, because if we don't have this, we can be easily overtaken by evil that confronts us every day. So in one prayer, he kind of summed up a lot of what I had been putting together for this. And Dan, it was right after that I texted you and said, I'm going to preach Sunday. So I was kind of on the wall and didn't know if I'd be ready. And I don't know if I am ready still, but here's kind of, that's kind of the gist of it. That's a little preamble, okay? You know, when I, another thing that's challenged me for a number of years, there's a interesting phrase in Psalms, in Psalm 90, when the psalmist says, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And I've kind of wrestled with what's the real meaning of that. And I met a guy, actually, in that same prayer meeting years ago, who lived that, you know, and he talked about numbering your days and the importance of it. Of course, it didn't really take hold at the time. But he had a card or a website, I forget what it was, but he actually would count how many days old he was. So, you know, in case you're wondering, I am 22,447 days old. So, Psalm 90, I'm not going to read the whole thing, I'll read part of it. Starts out in verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the worlds. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. And then just before that verse I read before, starting in verse 11, who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain wisdom. So a lot of wisdom in those words. You know, every now and then, I think about, you know, whether I'm at work or something, I think about, well, what did I do today? You know, what did I do today? And if I'm at work, I think about the stuff I did. Maybe once in a while, I'll think about what did I do today that matters to anyone? You know, I mean, I could do things that matter to me. Did I do anything today that mattered to anybody? And very rarely, although I know I should do it more, I think, is there anything I did today that matters to God? And it's a challenging question to ask yourself. And I find a lot of times when I ask myself that question, I end up in repentance. Repenting either for something I did or something I didn't do. Can anybody relate to that? I'm not going to make any eye contact. You know, as I've thought about the subject of today and how important it is, and you probably now you're thinking of verses where you think about the word today. I did do a little bit to kind of see if I was being too narrow here, and I did word searches on today and this day and every day, and there's a lot there. You know, there's a lot there to look at. When I mentioned the prayer of my friend about fresh manna, obviously that refers back to the Israelites and God providing them the manna in the desert. And one of the references I pulled for that was Exodus 16:4, where it says, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they shall walk in my law or not." You know, there's reference in the New Testament, and I got my notes are a little jumbled here. It's in Hebrews. It's Hebrews chapter 3, where it tells us the writer references what happened in the desert with the Israelites. And he says, "Today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, when my people tried me in the desert." That's Hebrews 3:13. Then it's Hebrews 3:13. Let me turn there. Sorry, getting a little tongue-tied here. Hebrews. Ben, are you finding the right verse there? Hebrews 3. Yeah, let me... Right. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, "Today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, 'They always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath they would not enter my rest.'" Then in 12 it says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any, whether there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." And in verse 13, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And here's another kind of something that we heard today that feeds that is what Brother Keith shared about body ministry. You know, this brings in the idea of today. You know, I think about, did I do anything today? And I can kind of internalize that. But this is a body thing also. It's a ministry. It's we think about how do we relate to others in their needs and our needs. Okay? Can't do this alone. Can't do this alone. In the Old Testament, this idea of, well, we all know the cycles that Israel went through of repentance, but then falling away from God. And it kind of is captured in the example of in the wilderness, but it happened over and over again, where they heard God, turned, repented, but then they fell away. They got taken away by the cares of the world, the things that come up and get at us every day. In Jeremiah 2:32, it says, "Does a young woman forget her jewelry, a bride her wedding ornaments? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." Days without number. So I'm going to come to the New Testament now, okay? And if you remember Psalm 90, I love the way it opened. It kind of almost talked about the timelessness of God. It said, Lord, you have been our dwelling places in all generations, all generations. Before the mountains were even brought forth, before you formed the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Well, as I was thinking about all of this topic, one scripture kept coming back to me, and I kind of wasn't sure how to fit it in. But and it's very simple. I'm sure every one of you can knows it, can repeat it, probably know where it is. But it's Hebrews 13:8. And it's very simple. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now think about that. There's a lot of times in the scripture where it talks about Jesus or God being the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, right? The first and the last. Where's that middle part? And here it says, the same Jesus, who is God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that is, as a Christian, that's our strength. That's our hope. Jesus, God, is the God of today. You know, if you a lot of times when we pray, we'll pray for something and someone will say, today, how about today? You know, I'm real big on praying for things today. And if I don't get them, it's okay. I want to be faithful. But I want to give God the opportunity to do it today. You know, if he's looking for someone to stand up in faith, let it be today. One of the burdens I have for prayer is my brother to be saved. And I pray, Lord, let it be today. Let today be this day of salvation for my brother. Jesus, God, is the God of today. The creator. You know, you think about yesterday. Okay, what did he do yesterday? All the history we have. Everything we see, God created it. He orchestrated it. He's the God of everything. He's the same yesterday and today. The God that we see in Revelation, the God that's coming in victory, riding in victory on a white horse and, you know, beaming. I didn't really have a reference to this, but the appearance of God described in Revelation, that's tomorrow. That's forever. He's the same God today. He's that same God of victory. It's his kingdom. Okay, that's the God of today. That's the resource you have today to change your life, to change these situations, as Keith prayed. And you know, when you pray, you have a burden for people because you know there's things that you know about and there's things you don't know that people don't share, but you see it there. Those burdens of the day, it's today. God wants to meet those needs today. Okay, and at the end, we're going to pray for healing. Okay, we're going to pray for healing. Randy asked for healing, and he needs it today. He's in pain. He needs it today. There's a lot of you that probably need healing today. So let's pray at the end for that. Okay? I'm all jumbled up here. You know, in the New Testament, I've referenced some. Old Testament scriptures, but we're all familiar, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, pray this way, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And that daily bread, I think it's the, you know, the wisdom from God, what we need to hear from God, but it's our provisions too. It's both, our daily bread. You know, it's give us what we need this day. I can't find the reference now. Sorry. It's in Matthew. It's in Matthew 6. Let me turn there. I know I can turn to it. Where's the, take no care for tomorrow? Can anybody tell me the number of the verse? Six. I think it's six. Okay, here, 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? That's one of our enemies every day. It fights against our faith, and that's fear. Fear, worry, anxiety. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that that's a victory you would love to have daily in your life. And yet I say, verse 30, now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you need these things. And then in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's a pretty good outline for your daily thoughts, prayers, seeking the kingdom of God. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So there's another thing to really focus on the day and if you're distracted by things in the future, it's hard to deal with the things that are besetting you today. So I want you to be thinking about that. Think about today. And I'm not talking a philosophical carpe diem kind of thing. This is scriptural. It's biblical. It's you know, that very verse there. Therefore, take no worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. It's almost personifying tomorrow. Let it go off and do its thing. You're here today. Your relationship with God is today. Your God is the God of today. He's, as I said before, he's the same God, the creator God. He's the same God coming in victory. He has all that for you today. You don't have to wait. Sufficient for the day is the trouble thereof. So, what do we do with this? As I talk the example about myself and thinking about, well, have I done anything for God today? You know, that can bring some regrets. You know, I wasted a day. I wasted an opportunity. Well, we shouldn't have to live with regrets. You know, it's if you focus something on the day, and you can say, well, I did this. I did this. And at the end, I'm going to talk about some things to do. But I'm going to give you a little preamble. I mean, do little things. Do little things. From this whole thought, from this message, today, tomorrow, pick something that you want to focus on. Pick something that you want to get victory on. And it doesn't have to be the biggest thing in your life. As a matter of fact, I'd say pick something small. You know, part of this is exerting some discipline in your life and your relationship with God. But it's through that way, I believe, you can break strongholds. You can break cycles in your life. I have them. I'm sure we all have them. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now I want to get into some things that you can practically think about, okay? And maybe some ways that I know one of these verses I've thought about and I think, that is so big. How do I get my arms around that? Okay. But it's what I just said. One step at a time, in little pieces. And actually, here I'm going to read a progression of some things you can think about. So 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 4. And it's talking about God, his divine power, by which have given us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So there's kind of the platform, the foundation, these great and precious promises. As we are saved, we give our lives to Jesus, we have great and precious promises. They're written in the Bible. But what do you do with that? Okay, well, it goes on a little bit to say, you know, how to think about these things. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, and that reason of the promises and partaking of them, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly love, and to brotherly love, and to brotherly kindness love. And some translations say mercy there. Now, I read that and I think, wow, that's great, great words. And I think, what do I do with that? You know, where am I on that? Am I even starting? But what I would say is, start somewhere, okay? You know, each day we can do something to exercise our faith. And, you know, to me, one example is prayer. Prayer is a demonstration of faith, okay? And I'm not here to say, you know, pray a certain amount of time, but I would say pick something, maybe this next week, that's important to you, and pray for it, even if it's just, God bless this person. But be persistent, okay? And let each day, let that be your petition, your request before God. Take that step of faith, demonstrating your faith in prayer. And, you know, in Hebrews, it talks about faith, and it says, I always get it backwards. I think I wrote it down. Faith is the evidence, substance of things not seen, the evidence. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? So it's today, it's every day, you can demonstrate your faith through something like prayer, through an act for someone else that is going to take you some faith to step out and do. But that act, that prayer, that is the evidence. That's the substance of the faith. It's the substance of the thing you're praying for that you haven't seen yet. Okay? So take that step. Take that step every day. Try and find something that you can do that will take that step. I'm staying with the theme of prayer a little bit here. I don't know if this is controversial for some people, but I'm kind of the mind of... Someone put an acronym forth, PUSH. Pray until something happens. Okay? I like that, you know, because I feel like prayer, as I said, prayer exercises our faith. If I don't see the result, I'm going to keep praying. And I understand there can be continued faith, continued prayers that aren't in faith. You know, you can say, oh boy, I hope he does it this time, or, you know, I didn't get it, you know. But I think with a heart of faith toward God, looking for, whether it's a prayer for someone, the benefit of that person, I don't think you can go wrong, keep praying for somebody. You know, I think of the example, and again, this might not, some people may not think is a good example, but when David's illegitimate son was born and God struck him with sickness, he prayed day and night without stop. They couldn't get him away from his prayer. He fasted. And, you know, he probably knew what was going to happen with that one. But he didn't stop praying. And then I think kind of the other way, so I want to pray. I don't always do this. My goal is to pray until I see something happen. Or until God says, enough with that. And actually, he did that once with Jeremiah. He was praying for the people. And in Jeremiah 7:16, God told him, therefore, do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them, nor make intercession to me. I will not hear you. And he must have kept praying, because in two other places in that book, in chapter 11 and chapter 14, he says essentially the same thing. Okay? Now, God's never told me not to pray for something, but, I think there's a truth there, you know, to keep praying till you... Now, you always want your prayers based on the will of God, okay? So you got to have that foundation. But I think it's... All of this is kind of summing up to me is it's all in the doing, okay? It's not in the theorizing. It's not in the maybe tomorrow. It's in the today. Okay, it's all in the today. You know, I'd say, you know, do something. Do something that you think will put you on the path to seeing God move. And if you're not sure, go back to Peter. There's those great and precious promises. And those are, they're all through the Bible. They're all through the Bible. It's not just in Peter. It's all the places. So how do you know you're in the will of God? Find a scripture that, and let the Spirit kind of bring it off the page and says, this is the scripture for this situation. Or just something, you know, even if you just search a topic and find it and, you know, you think it sounds good, you can use those scriptures. And I would encourage you, I know as I get older and my brother gets older, I sense more and more urgency of praying for him, for his salvation. So that can be important too. You know, it's not a, oh no, you know, the world's going to end. You know, God has it, everything in control. And I do believe he's going to get saved. You know, I think I shared in the church, my mother didn't get saved till 4 days before he died. She died. And I don't want that to happen to my brother. I want it to happen soon. You know, but you might have situations like that. I'm sure we all have people we're praying for that aren't saved. You know, so have some urgency with that. Have some urgency. Or maybe you have a Christian friend that just is going the wrong way. You know, pray. I mean, God always wants to bring back the prodigals. Pray for that friend. Pray for that relative. God, bring them back. God, bring them back. Do it today. Let today be the day. Send someone across their path. By your Spirit, just let the little tumblers in their brain fall into place to just put that resistance to you away. You know, if it's a spiritual bondage, pray against that. You know, if someone's believing a lie, pray against that lie. You know, there's the lie of atheism or whatever might be holding them from what God wants. Okay? Pray against that. You have the authority. Beautiful songs today about the power of the blood. Randy and the team, you know, there's power to save, power to heal, power that gives us strength to stand. Okay? Wow, great words. Great words. That's the power of our God today. Apply the power of his blood to your situations, to the situations you're praying for today. You know, Lord, today, by the power of your blood, I want to see healing. I want to see Randy's knee healed. Okay, I want to see Mike Clifford totally healed from cancer. By the power of your blood, that's the power. That's the God we have today. He's the God of today. Did I say that yet? Did I mention that? So I'm going to come in to wrap up here. I made a note on my, I brought that verse back from Hebrews 13:8 about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I put the word next to it. That's the anchor. That's our anchor. You know, that's like a banner we can say. I think New Covenant had a banner behind the, wasn't that a verse they had at New Covenant? Yeah. Let it be new for you today. You know, if you went to New Covenant and, you know, it's just was always there, let it be new today. Let it have a new meaning today. God is the God of today, okay? And it's the power he has, the unchangeable, unknowable power. It's all here today for his people. So three things to think about going forward here. Think about exercising your faith every day. Exercise your faith every day in prayer. I'd encourage you, if you want to, I'm not going to say the word challenge, but I exhort you to maybe even write things down. Okay, get a little pad of paper or something. And it helps me, you know, because I'm forgetful, or I, you know, if you get in a hurry, you know, it's you can just blow past certain things in your day. Write things down. And now, talking about today, but this God of today, he's also our hope of the future. You know, and we can bring strength to that. The last song we sang, it's all about our hope. You know, it was talking about, you know, what it's going to be like because of you, because of God, that future. That can encourage us today. Okay? I don't have to worry about that. That's a done deal. But I got things I got to deal with here while I'm here. Okay? Let that be your hope, and let that hope be your strength to be strong and full of faith today. And the last thing is consider, in Corinthians, so I have faith, hope, and love. And that started coming back to me. Well, faith and hope I just talked about, but love. Love today. Demonstrate your love in some way today. Okay? And it's the Christian love. Demonstrate that love today to somebody, whether it's somebody in need, somebody needs help, maybe a physical need, or it may be, you know, someone's hurting. You know, demonstrate your love today. Something small. Start out small and do that. So if it's okay, Dan, maybe next week I'll say, hey, did anybody pick something to do this week? And maybe share that with us. It won't be a mystery speaker. We won't know who, but, you know, think about that. Pick something. Like I said, pick something small. Pick something that's important to you. Pick something that God's put on your heart. You know, God's calling, you know, it's at, without repentance. You know, if you haven't done something, it's not too late. Bring the things that you've wanted to do, bring them into a context of something you can do today. Okay, whether it's tomorrow or the next day. But something you do today. Keep that in mind. Amen.